Okay. Now let us talk about a stress interview or an interaction method, which is very important for salespeople. What is a stress interview? It is where the stress is assessed. How much stress can the candidate take? So there will be a simulation of the stress. It will be a creation of stressful conditions or work pressure, where the candidate is judged. The applicants would meet in actual selling and thus provide a way to observe the applicants' reactions under stressful conditions. This will see how the applicant reacts to a surprise situation or to objections raised by the prospects, and to in general gauge his selling ability. As we've discussed, a reference will provide information on the applicant which may not be available from other sources. Then some psychological tests are used to test the ability of the candidate or prospective salesperson to think, to react, to mold or change and perform under pressure. So a psychological test basically gauges the psychological ability of the person to understand how they would be performing under a stressful or pressure condition. Then a test of ability can be undertaken. This is a measure of how well a person can perform particular tasks with maximum motivation. It includes mental ability or some kind of intelligence tests and some tests which show special abilities or aptitude of the candidate. Another kind of test could be one of habitual characteristics. So what are the habits or different characteristics of the candidate? It could be attitude, it could be personality and interests or morals, ethics of the candidate. So you could have some moral measuring techniques used by the retailer to assess the characteristics or habits or attitude of the candidates. Unless the customer walks into your store with a purchase in mind, the salesperson will have a tough time convincing the customer to buy the merchandise. Therefore, training of the sales team is essential to remain ahead of competition. We know that every year about 33% of the company's sales team will change, which means every year about 33% new sales employees will be joining the organization. Since they are new, they have to be trained. Trained about what? The company, the product, so product knowledge, even the industry knowledge, if they are shifting to another industry, the policies being followed by the retailer, the procedures and systems used in selling. So since each organization has different policies and procedures, the new candidates or the new recruits need to be trained about these different policies and procedures. Thus, training of the sales force has to be a continuous process. It cannot be that you have trained them and then that is it, forgotten. No, they have to be continuously trained in order to continuously perform and achieve profits for the retailer, to achieve sales success. When do you need to train your sales force? Very important. This is going to tell you what your training budget is going to be like. So when do we need training? Before entering the market? When a new salesperson has walked in? You have recruited somebody new, you need to train them. At different stages of the product life cycle, so if you are selling a particular product and it is undergoing different stages in the life cycle, for example, now it was in the introductory phase, your retail strategy was different, Now that product has reached the growth stage or the maturity stage, your pricing method will change, your promotions will change. Now that product has reached the decline phase of the product life cycle, again, our pricing strategy will change, promotions will be more, or maybe promotions might be less, sales would be more. So since we are aware that the marketing mix and retail strategies keep changing along with the stage of the product life cycle, we have to continuously train our salespeople to be able to know what is the product life cycle and now how do they have to sell, what selling skills to use in what stage of the product life cycle. To be retrained and upgraded to adapt their selling skills to the changes in the retail and selling environment. So even if the person may not be new, he has to be upskilled in order to know about the changes in the market, about the changes in the requirements or preferences of the customer. Obviously, the customer, let's say a salesperson has always been in the electronics section. Now, what was being sold 10 years back is not being sold now. It is redundant. New products have come in. So the salesperson needs to be trained about the features of these new products, about the way they perform, the way of giving demonstration of these products will be different, the way customers look at buying a product would be different. Therefore, with time, the retail salesperson, even though he may be aware of that product category or how to sell, he has to be trained to improve, to become more efficient and to keep changing with the changing times. What is the benefit of training? Training serves to help salespeople. How? It helps by increasing conversion rates and average transaction values. So these are two different things. One is increase the conversion rate. Suppose 100 prospects walk into your store every day and you are able to convert 5 into customers. You want to increase your customer rates, conversion rate, which means now you want that out of those 100 prospects that walk into your store, you are able to convert 8 or maybe 10 into a final customer. The average transaction value, on the other hand, means something different. It means that every customer out of these 5 or 8 who have been converted into a customer, so each of these customers, instead of buying an average value of, let's say, 1,000 rupees, they are now buying a product of an average cost of 1,200 rupees. So that is where we have the concept of an average transaction value. Both conversion rates and transaction values have to be increased. That is the objective of any retailer. Training also shows the salespeople how to create desires. We know that marketing is all about creating desires. It is about creating awareness of a product and creating a demand for that product. So the retail salesperson has to know how to create this demand. Even though the prospect may walk into your store to buy product A, a skilled salesperson can create demand for a product B. Now, this product B may or may not be related to product A. It may be a complementary merchandise. It may be something entirely unrelated. So this is where the salesperson has to know how to create a demand or desire for more products so that the average transaction values will increase. Training will also help educate the team to recognize opportunities that can be turned into sales. It will also help the salespeople understand buying signals, various selling techniques, when to close, how to close, how to understand the customer's body language or buying signals. It helps provide solutions to the customer. So we have discussed that the sales team has to be a solution provider. This is where the training is going to help salespeople. Training will also give them tools to know when to close the sale, what is the right timing in closing a sale, building rapport and gaining favorable attention. So the first thing the salesperson needs to do when a prospect walks into the store is to grab their attention in a favorable manner and to make sure that the customer is hooked on, and then build a long-term relationship with the customer. Even if the customer is not buying anything this time, but the relationship building or rapport building has to be such that they will return to you in the future when they want to buy that product which is on offer by the retailer. Training has a lot of objectives. We've just discussed them. Now let us look at various methods or tools for training. So what should a training include? It will use some presentation models. It should also include some answers to common objections so that the salesperson knows what are the common objections, how do I handle them, what are the answers to them in terms of the product knowledge, in terms of selling knowledge, in terms of how to handle an objection, and also about selling procedures that are applicable for our organization. Training should include ways to recognize buying signals or non-buying signals. So the salesperson has to be able to read consumers' body language. They have to be able to understand the body language to understand buying signals. Training should also tell the salespeople what are the actions to be taken to close a sale, what is the paperwork required, what are the various related aspects that the salesperson needs to tell the customer about, be it warranty or guarantee, be it about any other terms and conditions of the sale, or be it about delivery of the product. Product knowledge. We have already discussed this earlier also, that product knowledge is an extremely important element of the skills of a salesperson. So the training should include product knowledge. When the store gets a new range or a new product category or a new updated product version with new features, especially applicable for electronics, the salesperson needs to be trained about that product category. He needs to be aware of how to use that product and how to sell the product by highlighting its new features. Communication techniques. Very, very important element of the characteristics of a good salesperson is his communication techniques. What kind of communication? Good questions, asking the right questions, right verbal communication, correct body language or non-verbal communication. All these aspects are where the salesperson needs to be trained. Relationship development, how to build and nurture a long-term relationship with the customer is something that the salesperson needs to be taught. And various technological updates. So what is the latest in terms of technology in your product category? Or this could be technological updates in selling, which could be, for example, nowadays you go to a restaurant and instead of the waiter asking you, giving you a menu and saying, okay, what is your order, he will give you an iPad and say, okay, book online. Yeah, so that is about technological update in the selling process. Similarly, a lot of retail stores nowadays have a lot of updated technology for selling. It could be a technology where, for example, in apparel, where you could have a virtual or a fitting session where you're not really wearing the product, but it could be fit on you using technology. And then you can change colors or styling and then look at an image and say, okay, this is the product I want to buy. So there are so many new technologies being used in selling and in ensuring the customer is having a good experience while buying from you. So the salesperson needs to be updated and trained in all these technologies. The customer is smart and is usually able to differentiate between a trained and knowledgeable salesperson vis-a-vis a salesperson who is not well trained or has very little knowledge. So a training, a good training of the sales team should include thorough product knowledge. It should talk about psychology of selling and techniques of selling. It should also talk about giving the salesperson an understanding of the sales processes being followed by that organization. Training programs can be of many types depending on the kind of product and depending on the kind of retail format. Let us understand what are the various training programs that can be used. It could be an in-house program, which obviously means training within the store. It will include some personalized assessments of the salespeople. It could have teaming or pairing up of salespeople for the training process, where they have to do some activities in order to understand the concepts being given to them. It could include some classroom type sessions and role playing sessions. You could be using personalized assessments to train, where you're doing a SWOT analysis of the individual to provide solutions to improve their problem areas or to improve their weaknesses. Pairing up method. This is where two or more people of the sales team are paired up. They are put together in a group. These people are grouped based on certain thoughts. Usually, these people have complementary skills so that they are able to learn from each other's strengths. You could have classroom type sessions that are held seasonally or before the introduction of a new range of products. Again, this is applicable for maybe fashion products or seasonal products or products which are very technology based, wherein a new range keeps coming in on a periodic basis. So you could have classroom type sessions where you are giving the salespeople product knowledge. There could be some role playing sessions where sellers are invited to participate in real world situations that are acted out under simulated conditions. And you could have virtual training in various digital aspects. So virtual training is in. It could be a training via a Skype or a video conferencing. It could also be a training about virtual aspects or digital aspects of selling or of the product. Now we move on to the next section, which is evaluating performance of the salesperson and the sales team. Habitually and traditionally, sales volume, quota attainment, number of orders, and similar metrics are the common measurements of a salesperson's performance. These measurements document and illuminate only one dimension in the total assessment. Therefore, these measurements are not very appropriate for evaluating the performance of a salesperson. Sales jobs, as we all know, are multidimensional. Therefore, comprehensive evaluating systems must be used, and these must include multiple criteria: team compatibility, product knowledge, leadership skills, attitude, development of customer relations. These are also important criteria in evaluating the performance of a salesperson. Hence, in addition to sales volume and other such metrics, these assessments should also be done. Why do we need to evaluate the performance of the sales team? Let us look at the reasons for that. Firstly, performance review plays an important role in increasing the motivation level of the individual as well as the team. Performance review of salespeople is the basis for improvement of quality of the sales process. So when they are able to perform better, therefore you will get a better sales process. Performance review of salesperson is the conditioning of their training. System of performance evaluations is very important for creating the system of compensation. Compensation or awarding systems are based on the performance of the individual. Planning and development of human resources depend on the system that measure performances. Let us now understand the various steps of evaluating the performance. First, set the sales force objectives, followed by determining the sales strategy, after which we will set performance standards, which will decide what is the level of performance that needs to be met, measure results and compare them with the standards that were set over here in the previous step, after which action has to be taken in order to improve performance. So we have to set standards, then measure the results, compare them with the standards, and take action to improve on the deviations. Find out why were there deviations and how can they be improved. Setting sales force objectives. This is a quantitative target that salespeople should achieve in a given time frame or a given season. Sales goals should be realistic and achievable and agreed upon by both the manager as well as the salespeople. Getting these individual salesperson to accept and commit to the sales goals and projections is vital. As we have discussed earlier, this will decide the level of motivation of the salesperson. Unrealistic sales goals can be demoralizing and distracting for the sales team. Let us look at some measures of performance. They can be classified broadly as quantitative and qualitative. Under quantitative measurements, we have the traditional sales quota and achievement of sales targets, number of accounts being handled, or the number of sales calls that have been made. This is obviously not for B2C, it is more about B2B. Handling of expenses, so expenses incurred to achieve the sales quota, as well as how much expenses, so control of expenses, account density, and creation of new accounts. These were the quantitative measurements. Now let us understand some of the qualitative measurements. It could be innovation in terms of new selling techniques. It could be innovation in terms of ideas of how to improve any aspect of the retail organization. It could also be recruiting and training of others. So are you recruiting other people? Are you training your team members or new recruits? Motivation of others, are you motivating other people? Role modeling and leadership skills. Efficiency in tasks, how efficient are they in different tasks, not only in selling. And the last measurement is communication and presentation skills of the salespeople or the individual salesperson. So these are some of the parameters or criteria that are used to evaluate the performance of the individual salesperson. This evaluation is done not by only one person. It is not done only by the sales manager. It is done by multiple raters. So the salesperson evaluation can be done by himself or the salesperson when he undertakes a SWOT analysis. It could be done by the teammates, the other salespeople in the team, or peer review. It can be done by the sales manager and also by customers. Very often we find that a customer will come back and give his feedback and say, salesperson A did a good job. Or it can be a complaint saying salesperson B was not polite, he did not have product knowledge, he did not sell well, or he used unethical selling practices. This is how performance of salespeople is done by many raters. Okay, so this chapter was all about managing the sales force and evaluating the performance of the sales force. Thank you.